We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Tuesday, it's June 6th, it's 2023. We have 12 baseball games to talk about here on today's podcast, joined by my buddy Keith Eister, Eyes819. Keith, what's happening, my friend?
Not too much, just sweating a little baseball here this evening. Had plenty of NOLA, and I was way over the field on Abbott, so did well with pitching. I've got some Houston stacks too, and some Philly stacks, but just not quite the right combinations of hitters with those two pitchers, which is kind of what you need tonight. So got some decent teams, but don't think we'll be taking anything down. We'll see if we can get it done on this big Tuesday slate.
I'll be happy with a couple of min caches. And like, that's someone that was overweight on Abbott, NOLA, and Houston. Just not the right plays. It happens, right? Like sometimes you're on the right stuff. Yep. And you just miss one or two pieces of that like team. And today it was just the cheap outfielders for me with Abbott. With his price, it was really easy to fit in the expensive Houston bats with NOLA. And I mean, had Abbott not been on the slate, maybe you get on a couple of those cheap Houston bats and it's a completely different slate for you. But hey, you know what? It's baseball. The variance is always high. I feel good. Like when your process is good and like you're on the right stuff, you always feel good, even when you have a bad slate. So excited for this 12 game Tuesday slate. I said it yesterday on the podcast. I said we're going to have a week and I feel it. The momentum is there. So I feel like we're going to have a good week. So let's keep it rolling. We're going to jump right in. We got 12 games. What's up, YouTube? Hope everyone's having a fantastic Monday night over there on YouTube. If you haven't already, subscribe. Hit it. Hit the little button. Help us out. Tell all your friends. Tell your family. Your mom wants to listen to the podcast. Maybe even your dad. Help us out. All right. White Sox, Yankees, 8.5 total. Yankees a 178 favorite. Giolito against Schmidt on today's slate. Any interest here in Lucas Giolito?
Tough spot for Giolito. Yankees are getting healthier. He's a fly ball pitcher. And going into Yankee Stadium, that doesn't work out very well often. He's been okay this year. I really worry about the home runs for him in this spot. 8,900 is a fair price. There is some strikeout upside, but with the Yankees being a little bit healthier and lots of pitching to spend up for on the slate, I probably pass on Giolito.
Yeah, we're going to see his strikeout number come up a little bit. He's sitting around 24%. He's a 12.3% swinging strike rate guy. I think he gets closer to like the 25.5%. Don't know if this is necessarily the spot. Like you said, his biggest thing is home runs. His walks have been better this year. I mean, slightly better. It's still not perfect, but he's a above average pitcher. It's just a tough matchup. You know, he'll have those games where he goes out and he looks like the best pitcher in baseball. But I don't think today is the day that I want to play a lot of Lucas Giolito, if any Lucas Giolito. 12-game slate, we have pitching. We can be somewhat picky today. I don't know if Giolito makes the cut for me. Going to the other side, Clark Schmidt. I mean, the White Sox just continue to be a team that underperforms right now. And we've seen them just kind of keep dropping down the list. And, like, they're 26 in WRC+ against right-handed pitching, 23% Ks. Their ISO number is, like, 140. Schmidt has a big curveball. That's where he kind of, you know, generates his swinging strikes. He has a 26% K rate on the season. His swinging strike rate's 11%, so I think we're going to see some negative regression in that strikeout number for him. We don't typically see like a 26% K rate with 11% swinging strike rate. He's run really good on the BABIP side of things, 365 BABIP this year. Or I guess he hasn't run good on the BABIP side of things. What are your thoughts here on Clark Schmidt?
Yeah, 7,900. I mean, it's a fair price for him, but on this slate, we actually have a couple of really interesting options right in the same price range. I don't know. I think he comes with low ownership. I don't hate a tournament dart or two on him. I'm not going to have a ton of exposure. The White Sox are not a matchup that scares me. Just some of the other names right in the same price range. I think I go to those guys first. If I have a chalky stack or something that I like and I need a pivot in that range, I'd be fine using Schmidt, but I'm not seeking him out.
He is a guy that I think is in your player pool in your first type of build. And whether you want to limit your pitchers or something, maybe he doesn't end up in like your final player pool for pitching. The White Sox have struggled big time. He is someone that's capable of five or six good quality innings. He's not going to go out and throw like 110 pitches, which pretty much limits his ceiling to about 25-ish, 26-ish points. But on this slate, like 7,900, 20-plus points, I don't think any of us would complain about that. So, again, I think it's one of those things where he's in my player pool. We'll see if he ends up. His advanced numbers look really good. He's generating ground balls, not getting blown up. So I think he could pitch well here against a White Sox team that's struggling. Speaking of White Sox, let's talk about these bats. Any interest here in the White Sox?
I don't think so. I think Schmidt's a decent enough pitcher. They're not going to make my list of teams I'm stacking today. Trying to find some home runs, maybe. Eloy's price is coming up a little bit finally, but he's still 4,500. Don't mind him as a power bat. I prefer lefties really against Schmidt. Benintendi's cheap. They just don't have a lot of power from the left side. Gavin Sheets probably the best cheap lefty to go after, but probably not stacking him up.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like Schmidt, he'll give up a home run or two from time to time, but he's not a guy that's like typically getting blown up. And honestly, his home run number has come down here as he started to progress more into the season, get more comfortable on the hill and stuff. So, and the Yankees bullpen is just so good. Like, it's such an underrated thing when you're talking about like hitting. They have been the best bullpen this season. So, I mean, Schmidt for five and the bullpen for four. Just doesn't sound very like appetizing on a 12-game slate for a team that's been struggling. So probably out on the White Sox today. As far as the Yankees go, I mean, home runs, like that's where I'm targeting. I think you could fully stack the Yankees if you wanted to. But Judge, Stanton, Rizzo, like these guys that have that homer, Torres, those are the guys that I'm targeting here. Giolito is a good pitcher, but he does give up home runs. I could fully stack the Yankees, no doubt, especially in Yankee Stadium, but power is what I'm targeting.
Yeah, same with me. I'm looking for power bats here. Judge and Stanton, the top two. Rizzo is fine as well. His he's actually pretty cheap at 4K. Giolito does have those reverse splits, though, so I actually prefer the righties. Donaldson has been back in the lineup. He still has some power in there. It's been a slow start for him. He's getting up there in age, but 3,200 for a guy that has two home run upside, I don't mind throwing him in a lineup. Kind of agree, maybe not a full stack, just because Giolito's control has been better, but certainly don't mind a three-man trying to find a couple of home runs.
Yeah, Judge banged up. We'll see if he's back in the lineup. Yeah, he hit his toe or something going into the fence for that ball that he caught. So we'll see if he's back in or not, because he didn't play Sunday. They were off Monday. He had test on Monday, so we'll see if he's back in the lineup. I think we either see him back in the lineup or potentially on the IL on Tuesday. So we'll have to kind of see. But if he's out, the stack becomes so much more playable price-wise. I mean, it's kind of crazy you think about that. But you were talking about Rizzo. He has some of the craziest home road splits this season. And I don't love home road splits for baseball, but when you're in Yankee Stadium and you're hitting you have a 1,000 OPS and a 624 OPS on the road. Like, he is hitting the ball so much better at home, for what it's worth. So Arizona at Washington, 9.5 total in this game. The Diamondbacks are 140 favorites. Henry and Irvin facing off against each other. Any interest here in Tommy Henry, who's coming off of probably his best game? I know it's definitely his best game this year. So, any interest in Henry here against Washington?
I really worry about the upside in this spot. He's 7K, so it's not like he's super cheap. It's like strikeouts just are not there, I don't think, in this matchup. Washington is a very high contact lineup. Henry's strikeout rate sitting at 15% on the season. Less than 1,000 more, there's a lot more strikeout upside in the salary when we're looking at pitchers by salary. So I'm probably out on Henry here. Not enough upside.
Yeah, his advanced at, like, good for him having that game against Colorado, and makes a ton of sense against Colorado if you think about it. That lineup right now, just dealing with some injuries. But yeah, I mean, he's a 15% K rate guy, and he gives up 45% fly balls. So I don't love it. His advanced stats, his Sierra is like 5.4 and his ERA is 3.7. So, I mean, there's some negative regression coming to some of these numbers. So I'm going to pass on Henry today. Washington better, way better against lefties than they are against righties. The other side of this game, Jake Irvin, I mean, just really hasn't shown much upside. Arizona's a good offense. I think Jake Irvin is someone you can stay away from today.
Yeah, he's a guy that's not going to strike out a ton, and he's walking way too many is another thing. Arizona's been solid, like you mentioned, so I'm out on Irvin also.
Yeah, I mean, the price tag's nice at 5,300, but we really just haven't seen much from him yet. It's not like he's a huge prospect or anything. His walks have been really high, around 14%. So low strikeouts, high walks. Recipe for a stack, you know, thinking about these Arizona bats on the road. We like Arizona at home more than on the road, but you are guaranteed that ninth inning when they're on the road, so that's always nice. I mean, overall, outside of like Marte and Carroll, the stack is pretty doable price-wise.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of cheap options. Like Carroll is definitely a guy you want in there if you're stacking him up, I think. Marte and his second base eligibility is very nice as well. But guys like Pavin Smith has been leading off quite a bit. He's 3,600. McCarthy is likely in there at 3,300. Rojas at 4K. Perdomo at 3,900. They have played with the order a little bit. Like Smith will lead off sometimes. Other times it's Perdomo. So just kind of depending on the order is how I figure out who I'm going to end up using. But Carroll is certainly a guy I want in there. And then I think you go cheap with either the outfielders or Perdomo.
Yeah. Pavin Smith, his price has come up a little bit, 3,600. He's someone that I definitely don't mind in this spot. And then McCarthy, his stolen base upside is just legit at this point. So, you know, you get some of these cheap guys. McCarthy gets on base, he's going to run. Washington side of this game, I need Thomas. 4,400 is someone that I don't mind here. Ruiz at catcher, 3,600. Garrett at 3,100. Rivera. Oh, that's the other side. Sorry. Yeah, I mean, overall, Washington probably like a secondary type of stack for me, but I don't mind them in this spot against a low strikeout pitcher.
Yeah, I can get on board with a mini stack of them. Thomas has been really good against lefties. Meneses, I don't know what happened to this guy's power. Like, he looked like a legitimate power guy last year. Just two home runs this season. He's cheap at 3,700. I just don't know if he has the power that we thought he was going to have. Cheap-ish catcher in Ruiz. The three-man is what I'd be looking at here.
All right, Oakland at Pittsburgh, 8.5 total in this game. The Pirates, a 230 favorite. Kaprielian against Keller. Any interest in James Kaprielian here?
No, I don't think so. Again, a really cheap price tag, just not enough strikeout upside. He's been at 20.9%. Too many walks for him, too, though. He's over 12% on the walks. Pittsburgh, not really that scary of a matchup, but just I don't think that the upside is there on this slate. You need two big scores from pitching. Certainly not considering it on a one-pitcher site like FanDuel. If you're going cheap here, I think there's another name in this 5K range that we're going to get to who's been better his last couple times out. Don't think you need Kaprielian today.
Yeah, I think his problem, too, is like he's just not able to get left-handed hitters out. And Pittsburgh can go very left-handed heavy. So they, from time to time, they'll take Hayes and McCutcheon even out of the lineup and hit seven or eight lefties sometimes. So I think this is a bad spot for him overall. Good ballpark, but I think this is a spot we want to just kind of stay away from. Going to the other side of this game, Mitch Keller, probably SP1 today. This is a good matchup for him going up against Oakland. He's shown some big upside at times this year. He's had a couple tough matchups the last few times out, but still sitting at 30% Ks. We'd like to see a swinging strike rate come up. I do think there's some regression coming to the strikeouts unless the swinging strike rate comes up a little bit, but he's been fantastic. He's a guy that relies a lot on a cutter and sinker, so he doesn't typically get blown up. It's hard not to love Mitch Keller against Oakland today.
Yeah, fantastic spot for him. He's been awesome this season. We've kind of been waiting on it. He's been a big prospect for a while that it felt like was going to be another guy that Pittsburgh gave up on, and he went and had success somewhere else. But luckily, it looks like he's figured it out here while he's still with Pittsburgh. Awesome matchup here against Oakland. He's really figured out the walks too. That was a problem for him the last couple of years. Top pitcher on the slate. Like there's some really good ones up here at the top, but considering matchup, Keller's number one.
Yeah. Don't forget Pirates are number one team right now in that division. Watch out. Yep. They're not playing bad. That's what's crazy. Like Andrew McCutcheon was the missing piece. All jokes aside, any interest here in the Oakland bats?
No, Keller's like I believe like he was a first round pick and he's got a big fastball. He's just been really good this year. Oakland is not great. No interest in Oakland for me.
If anybody, it would be Ruiz for Oakland just because of his stolen base upside. Keller has struggled with that in the past. I don't think it's been as much of an issue this year as it has been in the past. He's kind of just put his whole game together. Maybe he was a guy that benefited from the pitch clock, just pitching more efficiently and not like thinking about it as much. But yeah, he's been pitching great.
That cutter is new too this year for Keller, which has really helped him against lefties quite a bit.
Yeah, really relying on the cutter against lefties, still throwing the sinker a ton against righties. So honestly, you look at his advanced stats and he just needs to scrap the changeup. It's terrible. Pittsburgh bats here. I mean, anytime you get a team against Oakland, you have to have interest. They are like no joke teetering on like historically bad numbers for bullpen. This is one of the worst bullpens we've ever seen. Pittsburgh, the prices are interesting. Swazinski at 3K would probably be my favorite hitter from Pittsburgh here just because of like what he opens up price wise. What are your thoughts on the Pittsburgh bats?
Yeah, I definitely have some interest. Reynolds is an awesome hitter. I like, it's tough paying 5K on a team that you don't think of as having a ton of upside, but Reynolds does have that upside. He would be my favorite, obviously. And he's pretty easy to fit in when you use some of these cheaper guys as well. Sawinski is a great call. Castro at 3,600. He's better against lefties, but I don't mind him in this spot if he's in the lineup. Bay is a guy with some speed upside as well. Fills a second base position. Marcano is a guy who's been cracking the lineup. He's still near minimum price. Great another call. speed guy. So yeah, you fit Reynolds in, and then I probably just stick to three of them. More of a mini stack just because I'm worried about the upside, but Reynolds is easy to fit in if you go with like Sawinski and Bay or Marcano.
Yeah, they've really been playing like matchups with Castro and Marcano. Marcano has been getting the start against righties, and Castro's been getting started against lefties. So I love that call. 2,100 comes into this game with a 233 ISO, 360 WOBA, and a 13.5% K rate against a guy that can't get left-handed hitters out. So love that call. I think he's actually like one of the best value plays on the slate overall. Love the price,
especially if he's back up in that leadoff spot. Then definitely.
Oh yeah. I mean, I like the little three man here: Swazinski, Marcano, and Reynolds. You use two outfield spots, so it'd have to be a team that you're like a stack you're targeting more of like the middle infielders on a team. But I mean, that opens up. It definitely opens up Keller. We'll talk about Brown and Gausman and these guys when we get there. But it definitely opens up Keller if you are like me and you have Keller ranked number one today. It's going to free that up. All right, let's get into one of these pitching games. We got Houston at Toronto, 8.5 total in this game. Blue Jays a 140 favorite. We got Brown against Gausman. Hunter Brown, really kind of disappointed last time out, in my opinion. Just didn't, like, the strikeouts were there, but he just couldn't. It was weird. He couldn't miss bats, but he was missing bats. It was an interesting start. Any interest here in Hunter Brown at 10-3 going up against Toronto?
I always have interest in the strikeout upside. He's a little bit cheaper than Keller and Gausman. It's a really tough matchup too against Toronto. So I think the ownership number is low here. Like the strikeout upside is just something that you have to chase. It's not a good spot for him, but he can go out and strike out 10 in any matchup, I think, at this point. It's a high risk spot for sure against Toronto. But they're very right-handed. I think Hunter Brown has some really good strikeout upside, even though it's a tough matchup against Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, the upside is definitely what you're targeting. They also have one of the lowest strikeout rates in baseball against right-handed pitching this season. So you're always worried about that. This lineup, just a really low strikeout team. He has strikeout ability to both sides of the plate. So, like, that doesn't concern me here. He's a three pitch guy, fastball, slider, curveball type of guy. I don't hate it. I don't love it. I typically play three entries. I don't think that I get to Hunter Brown today on a three entry max, but like if I was playing even a 20 entry max, he would be in my player pool today. Gausman on the other side, dude, how bad is Alek Manoah?
Oh man.
Didn't even make it out of the first inning against the Astros on Monday. Houston was one of my favorite stacks. Talked about them a lot in the expert survey and on the podcast just too. Man, Alek Manoah needs to get sent down and kind of figure this out, because what he's doing in the bigs, it's just not working right now. So I think you don't want to, but I think you have to send that guy down right now and like let him try to get right, because something's not clicking. But anyway, Gausman, 11K. Up against Houston, I think people might be scared off of Gausman, especially after what Manoah did on Monday. Houston definitely has more strikeouts in this lineup this season than they did last year. Altuve's banged up. He'll either be in the lineup or not. Gausman's expensive, but, dude, honestly, like, if he's going to be one of these lower-owned guys, I really like the tournament upside.
Yeah, I mean, Keller having the better matchup, I think, puts him as the higher owned pitcher here. And Gausman, you can make an argument he has been the absolute best pitcher in baseball this season. Like, the strikeouts are there. He doesn't walk anybody. 32.9% strikeouts, 5.9% walks. Dude has just been incredible. His swinging strike rate is, like, top three. I don't have that right in front of me, but I know he's way up there as far as swinging strikes go. you just have to kind of throw out matchups with guys like this. He's in like the Strider and Otani conversation where they're playable anytime that they're throwing baseballs on a given slate. 11,000 is a big ask, especially against a really good offense like Houston. But if that comes with an ownership discount, I'm all about it. I love Gausman in tournaments today.
Yeah, just, I mean, like you said, kind of just pitching insane. His chase rate last year was like top 1%. It's top 5% this year. He's just generating so many swinging strikes, top 10 percentile in strikeouts. Like, just, yeah, he looks great. And the velocity is down a tick, but I mean, the off speed stuff is just, it's so good this year. So Gausman, he's just like in that conversation of, like you mentioned, just insane. Yeah, looks really good. All right, bats in this one, Houston side. Houston, I mean, again, one of my favorite stacks on Monday, but I'm not paying these prices for Houston against Gausman.
Yeah, me either. They're big 12-game slate. No reason to try to pick on one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, a one-off power bat or two on either side of this game. I think, you know, these offenses have that upside, but I'm not stacking either side of this game.
Yep, me either. Like, I'd be more apt to stack Toronto just because Brown can have some control issues, but I don't think I need to do it on the slate.
All right, we got Boston at Cleveland. 7.5 total in this one. The Guardians, a 136 favorite. We got Paxton and Bieber facing off against each other. Let's start here with James Paxton. Any interest in Paxton going up against Cleveland?
I do. You get a discount down from the top range. He's 8,600. And we had questions about the strikeout. Like, we're like, when he first burst onto the scene, his first start of the season, we're like, wow, are the strikeouts really back? I think he's proven at this point that the strikeouts are indeed back. Cleveland is not a team that strikes out a lot. So there's a little bit of a downside there, but they're not a good offense either. I think Paxton can have quite a bit of success here. At 8,600, he doesn't need to strike out 10 to be useful. You use him as an SP2 paired with a Keller or a Gausman, and I think that's a recipe to win a tournament. If you can get 6 or 7 strikeouts out of Paxton, even in the spot, I think he can go fairly deep just because of the struggles that Cleveland has had on offense. There's not a ton of power there that scares me.
I'm going to keep saying I think Cleveland's the worst offense in baseball. I think they're worse than Oakland and Colorado. So, just saying. I mean, outside of Ramirez, this lineup is just not good. And, like, Ramirez's power numbers, I think he has, like, 5 or 6 home runs on the season. Like, his power numbers are way down this year. So, Jose Ramirez is a fantastic baseball player. But, I mean, Rosario's banged up right now. I like Paxton as well. Maybe this is a spot that, like, he just doesn't go out and give up a home run or two. So, I will say my Sox have been terrible lately, man.
Getting out of Fenway, it helps that. Going into Cleveland, yeah, it's definitely a better pitcher's park than Boston.
Shane Bieber, 9,600. I don't get the price tag. I get the Red Sox. They've been struggling big time here recently. I can't do the price for Bieber. The Red Sox, even in their struggles, their strikeout stuff is still well above league average. I can't do 9,600 for Bieber on DraftKings today.
Yeah, I can't either. The strikeouts have pretty much disappeared. Boston has been a really low strikeout team. Bieber under 17% on the season. That's not somebody I want to pay 9,600 for. I think there's two guys in the 7K range that we'll talk about. If he was priced next to them, I think it would be a conversation about who you want to play. Just way overpriced for his upside in this matchup.
Yeah, I was quickly looking. I don't see any props up yet. I might be under on Bieber's strikeout prop today. If it comes in at 5.5,
I'd be under 5.5.
Yep. So I think that 4.5, I probably don't bet it, but if it's 5.5, I'll take the under on Bieber today. All right, bats here. Listen, I respect Bieber. I could play Yoshida or Devers. Verdugo's price is getting a little bit too high. Duran, I think, is okay at 3,800, but he's kind of slowed down. The whole Red Sox offense has slowed down. What are your thoughts on the Red Sox bats?
Yeah, really no interest for me. It's just Bieber's strikeout stuff that he's still a really good pitcher. He's just not missing as many bats. The control is still phenomenal. I don't have any interest in Boston.
Cleveland side, who do you play? Like, that's just that's the problem, right? Like, they are like their second best hitter is probably Jimenez. It's lefty lefty. I don't think I want to mess with that. Just this is the reason that like we have interest in Paxton. If you want to target a under 3K catcher, you could take Zunino, who has power. I'm not touching Cleveland today.
Yeah, just one name. If he's in the middle of the order again, Gabriel Arias as a cheap one-off that could hit a home run. That's about the only guy, honestly. I don't want to pay up for Ramirez probably. And I'm definitely not stacking him.
All right, let's get this game's fun. All right, we got the Dodgers heading into Cincinnati. Huge ballpark upgrade here. 10.5 total. Dodgers highest implied team total on the entire slate. I don't think. Well, it's because we don't have a line out for the Rockies Giants yet, but 10.5 total here. Gosselin against Weaver. Any interest here in Tony Gosselin?
I don't think you need to mess with it on this slate. It's a rough ballpark to pitch in here in Cincinnati. The strikeouts have not been there. He's always been a guy with a short leash, so his upside has been capped to begin with. And now he's just not striking out near as many as he was last year. He's still been a really good pitcher. I'm not really that scared of the Reds offense, but the ballpark downgrade and the lack of strikeouts, I probably leave him on the shelf today.
Okay. Hear me out, right? That was my initial thought too. But we'll say this. Fraley got scratched on Monday and Senzel got scratched on Monday. If they roll out a non-Senzel Fraley lineup, dude, the lineup that they rolled out there on Monday, Cincinnati was one of my favorite stacks coming into the slate against Julio Teheran. And it just got to the point where you're like, I can't stack them anymore because this lineup is just so bad. So I will say, like, if we get that same type of lineup, I don't know. With Friddle out, Fraley out, like, I think he might be a guy that just flies under the radar because of his price and no one's looking at him. Terrible ballpark, but I could see him putting up 25 plus in the spot if this lineup is really bad again. I think it's a lineup based play that you can't really dictate what you want to do with Gonzalez until you see what the Cincinnati lineup looks like. If it's that terrible lineup they rolled out against Julio Teheran, Gonzalez's a much better pitcher than Julio Teheran. So, I initially, like you said, I had the first initial reaction was I don't want to play this guy. And then I was like, dude, I went from like wanting to stack them everywhere against Julio Teheran to being like, I can't play this team. So yeah, I think that I'm going to pass or wait, not pass. I think I'm going to wait to see what the lineup looks like. Luke Weaver, other side of this game. Not doing that.
Nope.
Not doing that. Again, I do think Luke Weaver is talented. It's just the Dodgers are getting a massive ballpark upgrade here. I think I'm gonna pass on Luke Weaver today. Any interest?
Yeah, no interest for me. He's a fly ball pitcher in Great American Ballpark against the Dodgers. He's had a home run problem. If he doesn't give up a couple of home runs in the spot, I'd be shocked.
Yeah. Love the Dodgers here. They're probably my favorite stack in the slate. Like, they're expensive. It's going to be tough to make a full on stack work, but everyone's hitting and they're getting a ballpark upgrade. JD Martinez has a blast of youth right now. He's been fantastic. I have a ton of interest in the Dodgers today.
Yeah, I do as well. I think like they're expensive, but they have the most upside on the slate, and that includes Coors. It's like you said, a ballpark upgrade for one of the best offenses in baseball. They've destroyed right-handed pitching for the better part of a decade now. They're all incredible. I think there's going to be a way to find a cheap pitcher and fit these guys in, but they definitely have the most upside of any stack on the slate for me.
Cincinnati bats again. I mean, if the lineup looks like it did yesterday, I have no interest whatsoever. I would have interest in Fraley if he's in the lineup. I think it was like allergies or something with Fraley. I don't think it was like injury. Yeah. So, yeah, listen, for someone that has a wife that has bad allergies from time to time, I get it completely. And it usually doesn't go away in a day. So we'll see if he's in the lineup or not. But I honestly, like outside of Fraley, I don't have a ton of interest. Like India, not a ton of power. He's a good contact hitter. Don't hate it, but don't love it here on a 12-game slate. Steer has shown a little bit of power. Don't love him righty-righty. Fraley, some interest, but overall not a ton of interest. And that's what, like, the conversation go back to Gonzalez, because there's just not a lot of upside in this lineup right now.
Yeah, I mean, Gonzalez is a good enough pitcher where I don't think I'm paying these prices for the Reds. If they were a little cheaper, I might take some shots because I love the ballpark. But the guys you want to play are the expensive guys. Like India's over 5K. McLean and Steer just feel a little overpriced at 4,500 against Gonsolin. So I don't see myself stacking Reds. Fraley would be my favorite option as well if he's in the lineup, but not a stack that I love. Could talk me into a three-man or two in my lineups if Fraley does play.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to talk me into that. We're still in the early 7 o'clock games. It's so wild. This slate's wild when you look at it. Outside looking in, there's so many 7 o'clock games Eastern time wise. Keith, you're going to be chilling at the end of the night because like yeah. You're going to be watching like pre-dinner games. Yeah. These games are going to be done by the time you get dinner. What an interesting slate, like time wise. So. All right, kick off the new year with new gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium Polaroid sun shades, customizable snow goggles, and much more. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair we've worn. Durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. That's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair. No questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after your purchase. With Shady Rays, you can look good and feel good. To date, they have donated over 20 million meals to fight hunger with Feeding America. If you don't love them, exchange them for a new pair. Or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. Exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the new year. Go to ShadyRays.com and use code ROTOGRINDERS for 50% off two or more pairs of Polaroid sunglasses. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 200,000 people. All right, we're moving on. We're going to stay in these 7 o'clock games. We got a couple more. Mets and Braves, oh baby! You get the Mets out of Citi Field, and I always love him. Always 10 total in this game. Braves a 160 favorite. We got Carrasco and Elder facing off against each other here. Carlos Carrasco has pitched really well the last two times out. Carlos Carrasco is going to get absolutely shellacked today. don't play Carlos Carrasco.
Okay, so hear me out.
Nope. Nope.
If you want to,
I'm not listening.
If you want to play Dodgers, if you want to play Dodgers and one of the elite pitchers, he is $5,900. He is a much better pitcher than $5,900. If we wouldn't have seen the last two starts out of him, I would completely agree. He's not right. You can't do it because he seems to have turned. The K's are still not there. He's still fallen off quite a bit from his prime. Don't get me wrong. The Braves are an absolutely elite offense. He gets the massive ballpark downgrade. I completely hear what you're saying, but of the pitchers 6K and below, he's the guy I would choose. You only do it to spend all of your salary on Dodgers and elite pitching. But that's about the only way you can make it work. So I'm not necessarily endorsing playing Carrasco, but I do think he gives you a unique lineup build that is very interesting.
Sure.
I can tell.
No, okay. At the end of the day, I respect what you say because we've been working together and I respect what you have to say. And I understand what you're saying. If you look under 6K, the options are atrocious. And I hear you on that. Like, I'm probably finding a little bit extra money to play, like, take a shot on like a Schmidt or a Gonsolin, Freddy Peralta. We talked about some of those cheap bats in Pittsburgh. There's a couple other teams that have some cheap bats as well. I think that's where I go over Carrasco. Dude, I love the Braves today, so maybe that's just bias to Atlanta, but no interest for me in Carrasco. I respect you. I hear you. Bryce Elder, he's had some good starts to start the year. Kind of fell off here a little bit recently. Remembered that he was Bryce Elder. 9,400. Like, talent is there. Tough matchup against a team that doesn't strike out very often. They put the ball in play. They're getting a huge ballpark upgrade. I don't have any interest in Elder at this price.
I don't either. Same conversation as Shane Bieber. Just the strikeout. Like, if I'm paying 9,400, I want upside for 8, 9, 10 strikeouts. I don't think Elder has that, especially in this matchup against the Mets.
You're giving up too much when you're paying that price tag for someone. You're giving up too much for them not to go out and have a bunch of strikeouts. So
yeah,
that's my biggest issue. Mets bats, any interest here in New York?
Some, because of the ballpark upgrade. They're also pretty cheap outside of Pete Alonso. Lindor at 4,700 is priced probably about where he should be. Nimmo, 4,300, I can pay that for Nimmo. Elder has been really good this year, and the Mets have struggled a little bit, but you get them out of that just huge pitcher's park in New York and down into Atlanta, and all of a sudden I think they have some upside. I respect Elder enough. They're not going to be a primary target, but I'm okay with some of this, the pricing on these Mets here.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Mets are one of those like secondary stacks that make a lot of sense. Anytime they get outside of Citi Field, I have interest in them. Beatty is still cheap at 3,200. McNeil at 3,500. These guys, they're so, the ballpark that they play in is just so tough that anytime you get them on the road, their numbers are going to go up. Lindor, Alonso. The dude has 21 home runs, and 9 of those have been in Citi Field. If he's playing in any other ballpark this year, he's probably sitting at 24, 25 home runs. He's having a year. So, Braves, I love the Braves stack today. I think they're a fantastic stack. They're a team that I have a ton of interest in. We're trying to get off Coors. There's two really bad pitchers in Coors today. Really bad pitchers in Coors today. So we're trying to get off Coors. I think the Dodgers and Braves are two of my favorite team to pivot off of Coors. What are your thoughts on the Braves today?
Yeah, I mean, I said you could play Carrasco, but that's strictly a price thing. I'm definitely far prefer the Braves side of this. You and I have been talking about how good of an offense they are all season long. Love this spot. Like Carrasco, I think he's about an average pitcher. That's not going to work very well against an elite Braves offense most of the time. So totally on board with the full stack of the Braves.
It's just it's an excellent spot for Atlanta. It's tough for me not to have a lot of interest here in the Braves. All right, Baltimore at Milwaukee. I think this is one of the most interesting games on the entire slate today. 8.5 total. The Brewers are 130 favorite. Gibson and Peralta going up against each other. Kyle Gibson, he's had some good starts in tough matchups. He gets a Milwaukee team that definitely strikes out, middle of the road to bottom end offense against right-handed pitching. Like, I really think he's playable today. You know, you were talking about Carrasco, and you know, I think both pitchers in this game have upside, and they definitely both have downside. I don't want to sit here and say they don't, but I think Kyle Gibson is someone, when he's pitching well, they give him 95 plus pitches, which can equate to 7 really good quality innings if he's pitching well, and 20 to 25 fantasy points. We saw him have a ceiling game against Detroit. I think he put up like 30 something fantasy points. I don't think that's likely here. I like him to go like 20 plus, and you know, we're like 7 or 8 games through this slate now, and it's like, all right, pitching a little bit of today. I think Gibson is just playable in tournaments.
I don't disagree. I think he's playable. I think that I try to find, like, I think I would play Gonsolin ahead of Gibson. I definitely would play.
I would too.
Okay. I don't see myself getting to Gibson. I like Peralta a lot better on the other side. The guy in the last game of the night is in the same price range, and I would much rather play him as well. Gibson just doesn't have the strikeout upside that I think Peralta and Musgrove, who we're going to get to, have on this slate. So I think I leave Gibson on the shelf. I'm not afraid of Milwaukee, but they are a lot better against righties than they are against lefties. And it's just the lack of strikeouts for Gibson is what's giving me pause.
No, I completely understand it. Like, I'm not going to sit here and argue with you. I'm just saying, like, if we're in this mid-tier range for an SP2, I think he's playable today is all I was kind of getting at. Yep. But I agree with you. There's still some guys we're going to talk about. Yes, this is a flying squirrel set. I was finally starting to go through my boxes of my office renovation, and I've been messing around and finding my minor league baseball hats. So they're coming.
A nice collection of minor league hats.
I do. If anybody doesn't know that about me, I love minor league baseball hats. But I went to buy one, not to get sidetracked, but I went to buy one yesterday. The Tortugas had a really cool like pink and like green one that I really liked. And to my shipped from 20 minutes from my house to my house, it was like $48. Like, all right, I hope they have it at a game because I'm not paying $50 for a hat. Stubborn. I'm so stubborn when it comes to that stuff, but I can't justify $50 for a hat. Anyway, Freddie Peralta, other side of this game. I mean, this is a guy that has really been struggling here recently, but you look at the matchups: Toronto, San Francisco, Tampa, St. Louis, the Dodgers. Like, this dude has not had an easy matchup in over a month. I think this is a spot, not saying Baltimore is by far by not an easy matchup by any means, but I think this is just a spot where you're like, maybe he can put it together and have a big game here.
Yeah, I'm interested. It's been a rough go for him, but you just read through, I mean, those are some of the best offenses in baseball. Baltimore is not an easy matchup at all. They don't strike out a ton, but Peralta, when he's on, has really good strikeout stuff. The other thing is his recent struggles are baked into the price here. He's a 9K pitcher when he's right. I don't love the matchup. Baltimore's not a high strikeout team, but Peralta is a better pitcher than 7,700. So very much in play. I think he's a perfect price for an SP2 on this slate. Musgrove is the other guy I really like in this range as well. So I'll play the ownership game with those two guys a little bit, whichever one looks to be more popular. I'll probably go overweight on the other. But Peralta is very much in the conversation for me today.
All right, Baltimore Bats. I think they're a stack or fade team. I think that you're stacking, hoping that, you know, Peralta might just continue to struggle. His advanced numbers look good. He's been better against lefties than he has against righties this year. A little bit of a reverse splits pitcher, but I mean, this is a guy that has over a 12% swinging strike rate. He has the stuff. He's just had tough matchups. Tough matchup after tough matchup. I can't speak. I think if I'm playing Baltimore, it's a stack for me.
Yeah, I agree. He's a guy who can have control issues, and that's something that we always like to target. Pricing on Baltimore, like with Mullins out of the lineup, that's the other thing we didn't mention when talking about Peralta. Mullins out of the lineup really weakens this lineup.
Henderson's banged up right now too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, the more we talk about it, I was probably leaning Musgrove going into this, but just breaking this down, looking through this Baltimore lineup, I'm even more interested in Peralta, and I was already pretty interested playing against him. I don't think I find a full stack here. I like Austin Hayes and at his price of 3,800. Rutschman is one of the best catchers in baseball. You can always play him. I don't like a lot else beyond that. Like, there's no chance I'm playing Aaron Hicks against Freddie Peralta. Frazier just doesn't have enough upside for me. And then, like, Mountcastle's priced appropriately. Santander, Mateo, I don't mind Mateo. I can get there at 4,300, even if he's buried in the lineup. So maybe it's a, like, if Rutschman's in the down the order, and then Mateo and Hayes, maybe a little three man, but definitely not one of my favorite stacks. It's probably not anything more than a mini stack for me.
Milwaukee side here against Gibson. I think Tellis is playable. I don't think I want to stack against Gibson here. It's just more of like maybe a three-man stack for Milwaukee today. And honestly, I don't even love that. I could see using some pieces here. But one of the reasons that I have interest in Gibson is the Milwaukee lineup is just another lineup that's just not great. And Gibson has allowed one home run over the last five starts, and only one time this season has he allowed one or multi-home run game. So not even typically a guy I like to stack against in general. So, and the Baltimore bullpen's been like a top five bullpen this year. So yep. I just don't have a ton of interest in Milwaukee today.
Yeah, I don't really either. And it's as much the pricing as it is Gibson. I don't mind stacking against Gibson. I think he's an average to slightly above average major league pitcher, but Yelich is priced up, Tellez is priced up, and there's just not a lot else in the lineup outside of those guys, especially with Adamas on the IL. I don't think I find a stack here because the two guys I want to play are 4,900 and 4,700.
St. Louis at Texas, 9.5 total in this one, 150 total. We got Libitor going up against Dane Dunning. Any interest here in Libitor going up against Texas?
I was really excited for Libitor after what he was doing in AAA this year. But what they have done to him since he's been called up, I don't understand what's going on. He has not pitched since May 26th. Is that right? It's 10 days. Mm-hmm. He didn't go on the IL that I'm aware of, right?
Went from a six-man rotation to a five-man rotation.
And so they just completely skipped him and didn't let him pitch for 10 days. Like that's wild. But
they're pitching Adam Wainwright.
Yeah. Gotta get 41-year-old Adam Wainwright his innings. Not the right matchup. Texas is a lead against lefties. I think Libertor is a good pitcher. I don't think he has any kind of a leash. I'm sure he's been throwing on the side over the past 10 days, but I'd be really concerned about pitch count in this spot. And I'm really concerned about Texas on the other side being a way better offense than any of us thought coming into this season. So I like Libertor as a prospect. I'm going to be playing a ton of him down the stretch, I'm sure, this year once St. Louis wisens up and finally just puts him in the rotation permanently. But today is not the day.
Yeah, maybe better than you thought. I love Texas coming into the year. Didn't think they would be this good. Let's be honest. They've been a top three offense. Like,
yes.
Against both sides of the plate. They're phenomenal this year. So, yeah, no interest for me in Libitor today. Dane Dunning, not the rant, but played him last time out against Detroit. He had 19 fantasy points. They let him come back out in the sixth inning. He gave up two singles. They let him come back out at like 90, 91 pitches or something. I was sitting there pulling my hair out. Usually, like, you want the ceiling. You want the guy to come back out, and you're like, dude, just give me my 19 points from Dane Dunning, and I'm so happy. Gave up two singles, reliever comes in, gives up the two runs. He goes from 19 to like 12. And that's
the worst.
Anyway, but like Dane Dunning's,
just when you're happy with the score and they bring him back out there and you know he's tired, like that is just the worst feeling in the world. And then they take him out and you just know the bullpen's going to give him up.
Like, what are you doing? Anyway, he's been pitching great this year. He's done a great job limiting power. I just don't think this is the right slate for him. Tough matchup against St. Louis. They have been struggling. This offense just in general has been struggling. I don't think this is the spot I played Dane Dunning with some other options in this range. But he's done a great job this year limiting power. Again, like, he gave up singles. He didn't give up home runs. Do you want to guess how many home runs he's given up this year?
I'll go one.
Zero.
Nice.
Zero really runs good. In 48 innings. Yep. So, done a great job limiting power. I just don't think this is the spot you want to play Dane Dunning.
I agree. St. Louis is a really good offense. Despite recent struggles, they're going to get it figured out. There's just too much talent with the St. Louis bats. I respect Dane Dunning. It's strikeout upside, and it's a tough matchup against St. Louis. Don't think I need him on the slate.
I don't think you need to stack St. Louis today. Just like you look at the prices on the Cardinals – they're in that range of like Dodgers, Braves. And I think the Dodgers and Braves have so much more ceiling. Like we just got done talking about Dane Dunning's allowed zero home runs this year. He's done a great job limiting power. His ISO is under 50 this year. So 50, like 050 ISO this year. It's fantastic. So I think this is a spot I might put the Cardinals on the shelf. If you're playing like 150 lineups, I think you have a stack of or two or three of them. But if you're playing like me, you're playing like single entry, three entry type stuff, I don't think this is a spot you play them today.
So I'm in complete agreement about like a premium stack, like Goldschmidt, Arenado, Gorman. I'm not interested in any of those guys, but they are going to have some really cheap options. If you want to pair a couple of these cheaper guys, like they just called up Lucan Baker. He's 2,500, big time power prospect. Jordan Walker, big time prospect. He's 3K. Burleson, if he cracks the lineup, 2,600. Donovan, 3,200. You can find a pretty cheap three man here that has more upside than typical $2,500 hitters would. So I like, just because Yepez is another guy who has big power, who's 2,300, like they have big power bats who are really cheap here. But yeah, not a full stack for me, a couple value bats. I think you can play them.
Other side of this game, Texas. I like the Texas stack way more than I like the Cardinals stack today. They might be like that stack that you pivot off of. Coors and the Dodgers and Braves. Again, they've been a top three offense this season. Mitch Garver back in the lineup at catcher at 4,300 today against the lefty. He's been hitting ever since he came back. So, yeah, I mean, I like this spot a lot for Texas. Garver is going to be a huge, like the Texas team, man, they're getting healthy. They're going to be a really tough team to beat down the stretch. Garcia Young has been fantastic this season against left-handed pitching. If Duran is in there, he's been great against left-handed pitching this year. So a really good spot today for Texas.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. They are really expensive, but like you said, that's going to leave them completely unknown on the slate, I think. Like people paying up are going to go Dodgers first. A ton of people are going to be going to Coors, but they have elite upside in the spot. Liberatore, I'm not sure what the leash is going to look like. But yeah, great spot for Texas. Chaim, just a guy you didn't mention that has been really good against lefties as well. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you there. I'll be full stacking them for sure.
All right, we're rolling. Now we get into St. Louis, or not St. Louis, San Francisco in Colorado. No total in this game. It's more of because we were waiting for like what the Giants are going to do, but it sounds like it's going to be Manaea pitching long relief today against Colorado, Lamet starting for Colorado. I'm not touching this long relief situation for the Giants today.
You can't do it. Manaea is really cheap, but sometimes he goes four innings when he comes on in long relief. Sometimes he throws one. So you can't trust that he has any kind of a leash. He's in Coors Field. He's had strikeout upside this year, but you can't do it not knowing how many innings or how many pitches you're getting out of him.
Denelson Lamet on the other side is one of the worst pitchers in baseball in Coors against a team that smashes right-handed pitching. Don't play him today.
Correct.
Okay.
Not going to try to talk you into that one.
Yeah, don't overthink it. Even like the Giants are banged up and they're missing some people right now, don't do it. Don't fall for that trap. Giants bats, I mean, depending on who's in the lineup, we could get a really, really cheap lineup today for the Giants. So Jock Peterson's going to be back. He's expected to be activated off of the IL today. He's 4,100. He's one of my favorite hitters on the entire slate. If Yaz is back in there, it was like side tightness. He didn't play Sunday. They didn't play Monday. He should be back in the lineup if it's nothing serious. And then Conforto was dealing, I think it was like a heel injury. The Giants are just underpriced for one of the best, if not the best, matchups on the slate. They're a top end stack today. It's just, I mean, they're not as highly owned today because we do have the Dodgers in a great spot. We do have the Braves in a great spot. But I mean, people love Coors, and this is a Coors spot that even Chief Justice, I think, would get on the Giants today because the Met is just terrible.
Lamet is terrible. The Giants are underpriced. I hate stacking the Giants. I'm probably going to end up doing it, but it's just like they platoon so much. They pinch hit it a ton. Jock at 4,100. That's just a ridiculous price. He's going to be massively owned. Lamont Wade's 4K. Depending on where he's at, if he leads off, he'll be massively owned. Yaz and Conforto, like these lefties look really, really good. Sable is 4,200 if he's in the lineup. It's you just have to look and see what the lineup looks like, but they're underpriced for sure. Lamet's bad. I don't have much else to say. I'm gonna try to pivot away from them as much as I can. I think they're gonna be pretty popular. Just hope that you end up getting a couple of pinch hits later on in the game and guys don't quite hit their upside. I'll be underweight, but it's not gonna be a comfortable fade by any means.
I really like JD Davis. Righty righty could potentially go like overlooked because it's righty righty. JD Davis hits righties just as well as he hits lefties, and Lamet can't get anybody out. So like JD Davis a lot. We've seen really good things from Casey Schmidt so far. Not as much lately, but he has some talent, and getting a matchup like this could be really good for the confidence. Like, don't be afraid to play some of these right-handed hitters against Lamet, because they're not likely going to get pinch hit for late in the game if they're starting already against a righty. So I think I don't think anybody on the Giants is safe, but I do think JD Davis is pretty safe. Wade is pretty safe. They've been leaving him in there most of the time. No one's safe. I'm not even going to go on. When you pull up the bat and you start looking at like pinch hit risks that Cardi has built in the bat, like it's always the Giants up top. So
yeah, they're all going to have like 20% plus hit pinch hit risk for sure.
All right, Rockies here. We're going to get a righty opener, and then we're going to get Manaea. We have no idea how long for either one. I hate opener situations. I hate like full-on bullpen games. Middle-of-the-road bullpen, but still, like, I have interest in, like, Grichik. I think, like, Nolan Jones is someone you could take some shots on here because he's cheap. He's been hitting the ball really well. They're going to be lower-owned today. Like, the Rockies are going to be lower-owned today. So, like, if you just want to sell out on a Rocky stack, I completely understand why you would do it, because they're going to be low-owned. It's just I hate it because, like you mentioned, Manaea might pitch one, he might pitch three. Brivia might pitch one, he might pitch three. Like, it's just a situation that's so tough. He typically only throws one or two innings to open, but, yeah, gosh. I hate this opener stuff.
Yeah, it just makes it a lot harder to know like who the premium plays are. Like, the Rockies are very dependent on, like, if Moustakas is in there against Brebbia to start the game, well, I don't want to play Moustakas against Manaea, lefty-lefty. It makes it a lot more difficult to figure out the matchups. I think looking cheap, I love the Nolan Jones call. Even if he takes in a bat or two against Manaea, he still has massive upside in Coors with two at bats off of Brebbia and then whoever he hits off of to close the game. Doyle is another guy I would put in that conversation because of his speed upside. His price is coming up, but he's got a little bit of power. He's got a ton of speed. He's a guy I could play no matter what. I like the Grichik call quite a bit too. Elias Diaz has been really good. The price is just tough to swallow. But he has had a great season. I don't know. Like, I think Colorado's going to be kind of low owned on the slate too. Everybody's going to be playing San Francisco. I'll have a couple Colorado stacks. It's a tough situation with the opener.
All right. We got the Cubbies heading into LA to take on the Angels. This game, no total out right now. It sounds like it's going to be Hayden Wyszynski pitching for Justin Steele. With him getting hurt. And then on the Angels side, Tyler Anderson pitching against the Cubs. We'll start here with Wyszynski. Talented dude. We just haven't seen it translate yet. Tough matchup against the Angels top half of the lineup. What are your thoughts here on Hayden Wyszynski?
Yeah, I don't think I can do it. Like you said, really talented guy. Awesome slider. He just... From what I've watched every single pitch he's thrown this year. I'm a huge Cubs fan. I watch every Cubs game. He has no idea where his fastball is going, has been the problem. When I saw his walk rate was only 6% this year, I was absolutely shocked because at times it just looks like he has no idea where the ball is going. he looked better in his last outing out of the bullpen. You said the Justin Steele injury has forced him back into the rotation. I think they were planning on using him as like a multi-inning reliever, but the injuries have pushed him back into the rotation. I need to see what he looks like coming back, starting again. If the command is fixed, he's too cheap, even in a tough matchup, but I'm just not quite convinced that he is.
Yeah, man, he's struggling with walks in AAA too. Like, it's not just like major league stuff. He's just struggling to find that command so far. The bottom half of this lineup is really interesting for him, but I just don't think I could do it. If I was going to take shots on guys under 7K, maybe he'd make the list. I mean, he still has been really good against righties. Just can't get lefties out. So,
Carlos Carrasco or Hayden Wesneski?
I would play Wozinski in that. Right. I just, again, like, I'm just not on Carrasco. just saying. And I think, okay, hear me out. But I think he's going to be pitching with a lead too, because the other side of this game, Mr. Tyler Anderson is not, he's no bueno. He's not good.
He is not good. Doesn't strike anybody out. He's walking too many guys this season. He has a 6.06 xFIP. It's just been a really rough go for Tyler Anderson. I hope the Cubs fly under the radar on this slate because I love them.
I mean, after Blake Snell just absolutely dominated them on Monday night, gosh, so tilting. I hate when – listen, I love when Blake Snell does this because next time he goes out, he's going to be so massively chalky again.
I watched before we jumped on the podcast, obviously. Blake Snell was getting – I'm not exaggerating – at least 6 to 8 inches off the outside corner. He had like 3 called strikeout lookings in the first couple of innings. David Ross ended up getting tossed, the manager, because the strike zone for Blake Snell was just massive. I know he dominated the entire game. I'm not taking that away from him. The Cubs have plenty of strikeouts, and that's part of why I love them today and wasn't really on them against Blake Snell, is because when they struggle, it's the strikeouts. Tyler Anderson isn't striking anybody out.
I laughed to myself really quick because I was like, when you were talking about it, I was like, oh, who was umpiring? Phil Cuzzy was umpiring, baby. Yeah. Always can count on Phil Cuzzy to give a ball or two outside.
It was bad, real bad.
All right, let's talk bats here. I like the Cubs bats. I like them against Snell. It didn't obviously work out, but Wisdom, Yan Gomes, Swanson, Morel. These guys have been really good against left-handed pitching this season. Suzuki, he doesn't have the power, but he's a guy that's going to get on base. Horner's a guy that's going to get on base. Cubs, maybe a low-owned stack that people aren't playing today. Maybe a secondary stack to a chalky stack that you could play them with. Pricing on the Cubs is tricky. I mean, Wisdom would be my favorite at 4K. I like Suzuki at 4,400, and then Yan Gomes at 3,100 is one of my favorite catcher like punt plays today.
Yeah, the Cubs, honestly, like, because they're expensive, I'm pretty confident they're going to be low owned, but there are some value bats here. Wisdom is a guy that might pick up some ownership, but nobody's playing Horner at 5,200. Nobody's playing Morel at 4,900, especially if he's in the bottom third of the order like he's been. Suzuki has been, like, crushing the ball lately. Like, exit velocities and things like that look really good for Suzuki. I think there's more power coming there. Love the Yan Gomes call. Yan Gomes has been incredible against left-handed pitching. And Miguel Amaya is, like, he had a big game over the weekend. He was formerly a top 100 prospect. He dealt with injuries for 2 or 3 years and fell off of lists. But this is a very solid prospect who's kind of been off the radar for a couple years. He's 2,300. They've been playing Gomes and Amaya in the lineup together. Amaya's been doing a lot of DHing. So I love both of the cheap catchers. The Cubs are one of my favorite stacks on the entire slate, and it's not just because I'm a Cubs fan.
I'm not a Cubs fan, and I like him today. I love stack against Anderson. He's bad. He's not a guy that's typically going to give up a ton of home runs, but he loves to give up, 3-plus runs a game. So this is a guy that gives up so many fly balls, too, and get some of these guys with this power, like Wisdom and Gomes. Like, it's crazy. We're talking about Yan Gomes' power, but it's there. Angels bats. I mean, outside of Ohtani and Trout, they're not overly expensive. This guy can have command issues. These are the types of pitchers we like to stack against. It's just, do they have the upside as some of the other teams, I think, is the biggest question mark here when you're looking at it. Because it's so, I mean, you could say, hey, I'm going to take Ohtani and Trout, but like, what are you stacking with that with these prices?
Yeah, I wish the Angels were a little more left-handed because I would be very, very interested in the stack if they had more lefties. Ohtani is one of my favorite hitters on the entire slate. Mickey Moniak, if he's leading off, is a fantastic play. But there's not, like, I think Wesneski's going to dominate righties in his career. Unless he figures out a better changeup or a cutter or something like that, he's really going to struggle with lefties. But that slider is elite to righties. He struggles with lefties. So Ohtani and Moniak are awesome plays, I think. You can always play Trout, obviously. I don't know if I get to the full stack because there's not a lot of lefty bats to like in this lineup. If Thace is catching, I can get behind that. He's got a little bit of pop. He's been hitting okay this year. I'll probably try to find a full stack here just in case Wisniewski has another really rough outing. The middle of that Cubs bullpen is pretty shaky as well. So I like the Angels. Definitely is a mini stack, potentially is a full stack also.
We finish it out with Seattle at San Diego, 7.5 total in this game. Padres are 142 favorite. Gilbert and Musgrove facing off against each other. I have interest in Gilbert. I really wish he was a little cheaper. But again, I know I keep saying this, but the San Diego Padres lineup does not scare me. It just doesn't. They should have smashed Kyle Hendricks. And again, they continue to struggle. So looking at the top end pitchers, like maybe Gilbert flies under the radar here because of the matchup. And I like it a lot.
Yeah, I do too. I love Logan Gilbert as a pitcher. I played so much of him against the Yankees. I really like that spot for him. And he burned me bad. So it's going to be tough to get back on board, but he has been so good this year. Just a disappointing outing against the Yankees last time out. I'm kind of with you. Like, the Padres have a ton of talent, but they just have not put it together. Gilbert's been outstanding, 28.7% strikeout rate. He doesn't walk anybody, an elite 4.3% walk rate. He's probably a little overpriced for the matchup, but San Diego still offers some strikeouts. There's elite pitching on this slate. I think he does fly under the radar a little bit. I like him. I'm going to be back on board.
Not only do they offer strikeouts, man, you look at the lineups they've been rolling out here recently, and they have one of the highest strikeout rates in baseball against right-handed pitching. Like, they picked up Sanchez. It's a 44% K rate since they've signed him here. Carpenter's at 33%. Kim is at 26.5%. Dixon has been striking out a ton. Machado's been striking out a ton. Like, really, Juan Soto's like the best contact power hitter on this team. There's a lot of strikeouts in this lineup. And honestly, like, I like Gilbert a lot. I think that it's going to be tough to probably play Keller and Gilbert together. But I think Gilbert is probably my favorite pivot off of Gausman and Keller today on this slate. All right, we've mentioned this guy's name a couple times today. Joe Musgrove, 7,800. Just consistently pitching okay. I don't mind the spot here against Seattle. This is a team that kind of underperforming. Joe Musgrove, his strikeouts are kind of all over the place, but he's done a great job limiting hard contact this year. What are your thoughts on Musgrove at 7,800?
It's the price for me. I just feel like he's $1,000 too cheap. It's the leash is the problem. He has barely thrown over 90 pitches. He's thrown 97 in two starts. He has not thrown over 90 pitches in any other start this season. I don't know why they're being so cautious with him. I know he was dealing with an injury to start the season, and he got a late start. But I really thought they would have built him up. In the past, he's been a guy that had a really long leash. For whatever reason, they're being extra cautious with him. But it's baked into the price. At 7,800, same conversation with Peralta. He's a better pitcher than his price tag. I don't need 10 strikeouts out of him at 7,800. I think he does have upside for that in this matchup. Seattle has struck out a ton. They have the third highest strikeout rate in all of baseball. They're a scary offense. I think there's a lot of talent in the Seattle offense, but like you said, they've been underperforming a little bit, and there's a lot of strikeouts here. I think Musgrove will be a pretty popular, and I'll be keeping an eye on that. Like I said, I'll play the ownership game with him and Peralta a little bit. But yeah, I just think Musgrove is too cheap for the spot.
All right, let's talk bats in this game. Any interest in the Seattle bats?
I mean, I don't love it. I'm going to be playing a ton of Musgrove more than likely. You can always play Kelnick. Good to see him breaking out. You can always play Julio Rodriguez. Amazing power and speed combination. Not going to be a full stack for me. Yeah, I mean, outside of those two guys as one-offs potentially, not a ton that I love here.
Yeah, Seattle teams that's been kind of ice cold here recently. Their strikeouts have gone through the roof. They're below average in WRC plus now against right-handed pitching. And just with Musgrove's, I mean, excellent hard to soft contact ratio. Not a ton of interest for me in Seattle. Mention the names that I would have probably mentioned as well. San Diego, I mean, I don't have a ton of interest in the Padres today. Like, if you're stacking them, they're expensive. And I mean, I would pay up for the Braves or Dodgers or Texas or Chicago before I would pay up for these guys today.
Yeah, no interest in San Diego. I know the Yankees got to Gilbert a little bit his last time out, but I believe in the talent. I think he's made some real adjustments this season that have taken him to another level. I'm paying premium prices for San Diego.
All right, let's play the morning grind game, and then we'll get out of here. Favorite pitcher under 8K to get six or more strikeouts. What do you got?
I'm going Musgrove. We just talked about him. Great matchup for strikeouts against Seattle.
I like it. I'm going to go with Freddy Peralta. I think there's some strikeout upside there, and yeah, I'll hit it. Over 8K to score under 15. Who's your bust today?
Give me Lucas Giolito. Just a tough park for the home run problem that he has. Hopefully Judge isn't. If Judge is not in the lineup, I might take that back. But as of right now, as long as Judge is in there, it's a tough spot for Giolito.
Can I say John Brivia? kind of cheating, right? All joking. Don't play that guy for what it's worth. Don't. Yeah. But all joking aside, I think this is a spot that I'm just kind of off of Bieber. I don't like Shane Bieber's price. I don't love the matchup against the Sox. He's a guy that's capable of putting up 15, but I don't think he's a guy that's capable of like 25 plus today. Give me Gilbert for sure over him today. All right, over 4K to hit a home run, not in Coors. Who do you got going yard today?
Give me Max Muncy. Dodgers and Great American. Should be a good time.
Good time indeed. Give me my boy, Matt Olson against Carlos Carrasco. 17 home runs on the season. Everybody was freaking out when Atlanta lost Freddie Freeman, and they're like, hey, we're going to go get this guy. And he has been fantastic. He looked great in spring training. Matt Olson, a really, really good hitter. Not Freddie Freeman, but, I mean, a really good hitter. You know, I was looking at their numbers, like, just for fun the other day. Freeman gets on base so much more, but Olson has better power numbers this year.
Yep.
Under 4K to get two hits. Who's your cheap bat that you like today?
Give me Yan Gomes. Dude has just been incredible against lefties, especially. He's had a great year overall, but really good against lefties. A matchup against a lefty who has had all kinds of problems this year.
I'm going to go almost all the way back to the first game we talked about. Give me Marcano at 2,100. I think if you're not paying up at shortstop today for like a Seager or a Swanson, Bichette type plays, Lindor, going all the way down and just saying, hey, I'm just going to accept the punt is something that I love to do. And I think he's a guy that's capable of getting on base and having a good game here at 2,100. Oakland bullpen, terrible. Yeah. Give me Marcano here. He can steal bases too.
Yes, he can. Love that.
Stack for six or more runs today. Who do you got?
Sticking with the Cubs. I think it's just a great spot for them. They have fallen off considerably over the past couple of weeks. They still line up really well against left-handed pitching, and Tyler Anderson just has not shown any skills whatsoever this season. I love this spot for the Cubs.
I mean, I'm not going to take the cheat code and say Dodgers or Braves. I like them a lot today. Don't get me wrong. We stay away from Coors. I am going to go a little off the board today. I feel like a team that might just kind of get overlooked today, but give me Arizona. Going up against Irvin. I like Arizona a lot today against Washington. We talked about them way early in the podcast, but love this spot for them today. Keith, we did have a question in chat, and I haven't even looked at, but they were curious if we like the under 4 runs in the first 5 innings for the Minnesota-Tampa Bay game today. It is.
That must be a 640 game.
It is. It's Varlin and Eflin facing off against each other in Tampa.
Man, that's.
At first thought, I probably wouldn't bet it. At first glance, I probably wouldn't bet the under. But, I mean, if you're passionate about it and you have reasons why you like it, I'm not going to sit here and talk you off of it. But at first glance, it's not one that I would bet.
Yeah, nothing jumping off the page that screams I need to bet that. I do like the ballpark, obviously, and I think both pitchers are pretty talented, but like 4 just seems like it's the right number. It's not jumping off the page as a great bet.
And we had longtime listener, first time catching Morning Grind live. Thanks for hanging out. We appreciate it. Thanks for your kind words, and we appreciate it. That's going to get us out of here. We're going to get out of here. Everyone have a fantastic Tuesday. We'll be back Wednesday. Have a good one. We'll see you then.